Today on Real Radio.
Ushers, guard the doors. I'm going to mention two words this morning that's going to rub you the wrong way. Don't leave the building. You got to hear me all the way out. If you get all upset, everyone's going to know that you're just an immature little panic-stricken powder, and you're going to run out of here before you hear the whole story. Don't leave until we come to the end. Then you can leave all you want.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the Old Testament narrative of Ruth. We're looking at chapter 3 now of this four-chapter account, and it's the wonderful story of Boaz meeting Ruth and falling in love. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a presentation called Just Say I Do.
Last week together we looked at verses 1 through 5 because we saw there the steps and the preparation of Ruth meeting Boaz on marital ground. That is, Naomi was suggesting to Ruth, you go and present yourself to him, say yes to his asking you, really, by actions, to marry him. For 6 to 8 weeks, Ruth had been going out to the fields, and Boaz had been showing her love and kindness. And in response to that, Naomi, who is the mother-in-law, says to Ruth, the Moabite girl, she said, now listen, shall I not seek for you security? That is, shall I not find for you a husband? It's our cultural duty. And she says, now listen, you scrub yourself up, get real clean. And that's good advice because she had been working in the fields for almost 2 months. And anoint yourself with oil. Rub that fragrant, wonderful oil into your skin and you know, get dolled up. And put on the best dress you got, which means a lot because up until this moment, she was wearing her funeral mourning attire, all in black. And Naomi says, drop those black clothes and put on your best garment. And then she says, isn't Boaz tonight down at the threshing floor, with a little wink? And she says, you go to him, and he'll tell you what to do. And this and that culture, and I don't want to go through it again, you just have to get last week's tape, but in that culture, this is a wonderful moment. This is a very godly moment. This is a wonderful thing. There's nothing shady or sinful or sexual about it at all. They're both very godly people, Ruth and Boaz. And so Naomi drops this into her life, into her hearing, into her ears. But Naomi can only suggest it. Ruth had to act on it. Ruth had to take the suggestion and do something about it. It is a fact that Naomi loved her greatly. It is a fact that Boaz loved Ruth greatly. She was very much loved. That love caused her to be confident and to move in faith and to act on obedience. Now, we're going to see this morning the preludes to the wedding. In fact, the title of the message, I would just call it something like, Just Say I Do, because this is what Ruth is doing now. She's saying, I do, or I will. With all of the love that Boaz has been giving her, now she responds by saying, I will marry you. And that's a great thing. It's an exciting thing. It's interesting to me that the scriptures tell us in Matthew chapter 25, Jesus warns us and he says the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God, they're one and the same. He says the kingdom of heaven is like 10 virgins who have their lamps and five wise virgins take their lamps with extra oil, but five are foolish virgins. They take their lamps with no oil. And as they're waiting for the bridegroom to come for the wedding ceremony, while they slumbered and slept, the cry went out, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." And in that culture, the wedding preparations were made. This is weird, okay? And a lot of Orthodox believers still do this to this day. It's kind of a drag, though. If you get invited to a wedding, you take about 5 to 7 days off from your job, or hopefully you live close enough to where the ceremony is readily attended, because here's what happens. Very, very much unlike ours. In a wedding, the bride is ready, all the attendants are ready, all of the food's ready, everything's ready, everybody waits. Waits for who? The photographer? No. They wait for the bridegroom. In the Hebrew Jewish culture, the bridegroom, they don't know when he's coming. We have a brother here in our church who did that very thing with his wife. That's how they had their wedding. She didn't know what day he was coming. And she had to be ready during that period of time. Isn't that interesting? Drive you nuts, wouldn't it? But same with the scriptures. Jesus says, "You don't know when I'm coming." And the whole context is wedding celebration. And he says, "Don't let your oil run out. Don't run out of oil." Why? Because your light will go out. There's 10 virgins, but 5 are wise and 5 are foolish. Don't let your oil go out. And what is the oil a symbol of in the Bible throughout Scripture? The person of the Holy Spirit. You can be a believer and be dead spiritually. Isn't that tragic? Jesus says, in fact, to the church, he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anybody will let me in, I'll come in." Well, who did he say that to? I know that's a statement that we often quote for evangelistic purposes, but that's not the context. The context is Jesus trying to get inside of the church. Can you imagine a church without Jesus? "Excuse me, will you let me in to my church that I died for? Let me in." The virgins speak of religious commitment or knowing God. The oil speaks about the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, 5 are wise, 5 are foolish. By taking extra oil, they are wise. He says, "You don't know when I'm coming." And when the wedding is called and the best man of the wedding comes out and they make the announcement, "He's coming." People jump up and trim their lamps if it's at nighttime, and they get ready. But when that cry went out in Jesus' parable, those 5 foolish virgins jumped up and grabbed their lamps. They had no more oil. Their lamps had gone out in the night. All being prepared for a wedding. For those of us who are believers in Jesus Christ, we are heading for a wedding. We are going to be attending a wedding. You will be the wedding. There'll be many invited, but you, being the bride of Christ, according to the Bible, you will be the wedding itself. You will be that bride. Jesus will be that groom, and a wonderful celebration will take place. Well, this morning, as we look at our study, it's really broken up into 2 divisions or 2 sections, and that is in verses 6 through 9. You might want to jot it in your Bible or make it a note in your notebook. That Ruth, first of all, is willing to accept Boaz's love. And this is very important, and we're going to talk about how this is done. It might upset you a little bit. I hope not. And it shouldn't. But Ruth is willing to accept Boaz's love in verses 6 through 9. And then in verses 10 through 14, Ruth is willing to listen to Boaz's words. And that will be very important as we get into this. Verses 10 to 14. So let's look at it together, and we'll come back and study it more closely. Ruth chapter 3, beginning at verse 6. "And so she went down to the threshing floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law had instructed her. And after Boaz had eaten and had drank and his heart was cheerful, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. And she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid down. And now it happened at midnight that the man was startled, and he turned himself, and there a woman was lying at his feet. And he said, 'Who are you?' And she answered and said, 'I'm Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a near kinsman.' And then Boaz said, 'Blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning, in that you did not go after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request. For all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman. Now, it is true that I am your near kinsman. However, there is a nearer kinsman than I. Stay this night, and in the morning it shall be that if he will perform the duty of a near kinsman for you, good, let him do it. But if he does not want to perform the duty for you, then I will perform the duty for you. As the Lord lives, lay down until the morning. And she lay at his feet until the morning, and she arose before one could recognize another. And then he said, do not let it be known that the woman came to the threshing floor. And so this morning we're going to be seeing some things that are challenging to us. And I got to tell you right now, this message has kind of gone a little bit differently than what I was thinking. But the Lord, I think, is wanting to convey something to us. And so we need to listen. I'm going to tell you right now, ushers, guard the doors. I'm going to mention two words this morning that's going to rub you the wrong way. Don't leave the building. You got to hear me all the way out. If you get all upset, everyone's going to know that you're just an immature little panic-stricken powder. And you're going to run out of here before you hear the whole story. Don't leave until we come to the end. Then you can leave all you want once we're over. But this whole thing is dealing with, first of all, the will of Ruth saying to Boaz by her actions, I will. And what does it mean to say I will? What does it mean to say I do? She's all dressed up. She's all perfumed up. She's all washed up. In a good way. And off she goes. And so she obeys everything her mother-in-law instructed her to do. Ruth is willingly submissive to Naomi's commands or instructions. Willingly. Willingly submissive to Naomi's commands. But also, in going to meet Boaz, Ruth is obedient to the love that he had shown her for some 6 to 8 weeks. There's no problem here with this. Naomi loves her. Boaz loves her. Naomi makes suggestions, and Ruth moves in faith on those suggestions. Boaz loves her and has poured out his attention upon her, and she acts in obedience or response to such love. And this young girl is moving to the threshing floor. Look at verse 6. It says there that she went. She went down to the threshing floor. She did according to all that her mother-in-law had instructed her. Do you hear about Ruth whining as she's going? Do you hear Ruth going down the road all dressed up with nowhere to go? She's going down the road. Oh, man, I'm just doing this for my mother-in-law. I can't believe this. Go lay down at his feet. Remember the picture from last week? If you weren't here, let me tell you quickly. In that culture, he's there with hundreds of other people, maybe 1,000 people, as they're going through the threshing of the grain. It's a very festive moment, very exciting, wonderful time of the year. She's going out there to willfully respond to his overtures of, will you marry me? That's what he's been showing her the last couple of months. She is to respond in the Hebrew cultural manner. She's to go to him at night. She's to take the blanket of his covering that he's sleeping under, take it and pull it up over her body. And by doing so, she is saying, I'm receiving you as my covering. It's very beautiful, very godly. He would lay down this way, and she would. Now, they didn't like lay down in the street, and this is how they did this thing. This happened to have been the cultural thing for this event here and now. This was an act of submission. He's sleeping. We'll see it in a moment. He's out like a light. She's going to approach him, because remember Naomi last week said, know where he sleeps, where he lays down. When you find out where that spot is, you go to him. And what would have happened is he would have been sleeping and she would have laid down opposite. They wouldn't have touched feet. They're 180 degrees away from each other. Are you with me on this? They wouldn't have touched feet, but they would have been close. Close enough for her to do a sit-up. She does a sit-up and she grabs the blanket down that's around him at her feet, at his feet. She transfers the blanket from him up over her to her chin. And by signifying this, or by doing this, it signifies that she is receiving him as her husband. And it's a very cute thing. It's a very wonderful thing. No problem here. But by doing it, by saying yes in this way, she is saying two things. And listen, ladies, listen. I already slipped these two words in that drive people crazy. Did you get it? You guys are smarter than the other three services. Submission and obedience. We've been conditioned by godless witnesses to hate those two words. And yet they're one of the most wonderful things that the Christian life can experience. But our poor witness as Christians has made those words terrible words. Plus Oprah Winfrey and Montel Williams and all the other smut trash TV that's on there. You want me to tell you what I really think? No, I'm kidding. Find a life if you're watching those things. Our culture says submit over my dead body. And unfortunately, it comes to that sometimes in people's lives. How tragic. By Ruth grabbing the blanket, she's saying, I submit to him as my husband and as my leader and as my head and as my Lord. Now, in that culture, they would call their husbands Lord. Don't you think that's kind of cool, guys? But anyway, I don't want to push the envelope here, but listen carefully, ladies. She is saying, oh, how wonderful. Now, listen, was there a time in your life when you were maybe planning for that wedding day and you were just like her? Oh, how wonderful. Oh, I can't wait to be called, you know, Mrs. Whatever. And it was exciting. And then time goes on, and it's, oh, brother, would I ever make that? Oh, that's sad. Listen, she's excited. And submission and obedience is all built in, but you don't hear much about it. You have to see it. You have to see it in the scripture. You don't hear much about it. You know why? Because Boaz loved Ruth, and she knew it. Ruth loved Boaz. And Boaz is realizing this now, and he sees it. I don't think it would have went over well if Boaz would have said, I love you, you love me, submit. He wouldn't have never done that because, first of all, he was a godly man. It doesn't have to be brought up. Why? In Matthew 6:33, the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and all of these other things will be added to you. Boaz wanted to bless one person above all others. And who do you think that one person was? You have any doubt in your mind? Neither did Ruth. Neither did Ruth. And Ruth wants to go to the threshing floor now and submit to him by saying, I will. And no one of those, neither one of those two people are complaining about it, are they? Because it was a joy, because it was all ensconced or covered with love. Submission? Gladly. Why? Because of love. Obedience? Absolutely, because of love. Watch this. Boaz, working hard and carrying out all of this wonderful favor and grace towards Ruth? Gladly. Why? Because of love. They loved one another. Is your relationship with God based on love? Listen, or as we'll see soon, is it based on a legalistic understanding of God where it's not a loving relationship? It is a rough, demanding, hard relationship. Is that your relationship with God? Or is it favor and grace, love and mercy? Well, in this relationship, it's love. Because both these people are dedicated. Real quickly, she is willing to submit to Boaz's love and accept his love. And I want you to consider something. There's four manifestations this morning that we see of her doing this, found in verse 7. There's four things that display her act of submission. Number one, it says that she went, that is, she went to where he was. By doing so, she is declaring her love and submission to him. Number two, she came softly, that is, with respect. She came respectfully toward him. Isn't that interesting? The Bible tells us, wives, respect your husbands. Oh, that's a big thing to men. That's why men often flourish in their jobs more than in their homes, because when the lack of respect is gone, they still are able to maintain it at home, I mean, at work. And that's where they find a lot of their worth. And we'll talk about why that's the case in a little bit. The third thing is, she uncovered his feet. All right, now she's getting back at him. No, that's not what it is. She's uncovering his feet. It's a very godly thing. She is uncovering his feet, meaning she's covering herself with his authority. Now remember, Boaz was quite a wonderful man. This is all a great thing for her to do. She's excited about it. I know if she came up here, if Ruth came up here right now and we were to interview her, she would drive like Gloria Allred insane. But Ruth would come up here and say, hey, girls, listen, girls. She'd say, I want to talk to you and you only. I'm not going to let this guy out of my sight. He treats me like a queen. She's excited. Look at the final thing. The fourth thing in verse 7 is that she laid down. She waited. The word says laid down. It is that she waited. Four steps of submission that this woman gives as an example. Now, hey guys, listen to this carefully. In all of this, you can see here this thing about submission and how Ruth is receiving now him as her covering and she's putting herself under him, so to speak. And you can almost hear Tim Allen in the background go, you could almost in your little mind begin to concoct a picture that in a moment Boaz is going to jump up, grab a club, hit Ruth over the head, and drag her back to the cave. And you'd be wrong. Here she comes with all of these manifestations of respect and of submission. And what's Boaz going to do? That's right, woman. Submit. No, a man of God can't say those things. It'd make him sick. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22, it says, and the Father has put all things under his feet and gave Jesus Christ to be head over all things to the church. And you say, yeah, I understand that. Okay. Well, in Ephesians 5, it goes on to say, wives, submit to your own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife. And every husband knows Ephesians 5:22. They may not even be Christians and they know Ephesians 5:22. Hey, woman, doesn't the Bible say to submit? Well, listen. If you walk out on this message, you're missing a big, big thing. Because what is the man to be like? What kind of man is a woman to submit to? A godly man. A godly man.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a look at the Old Testament book of Ruth, chapter 3 in verses 6 through 14. It's a presentation called Just Say I Do. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. The account of Ruth meeting Boaz is such a beautiful story, and there's much to be gained from it. So we're making available Pastor Jack's presentation on audio CD called Ruth and Boaz, Falling in Love, God's Way. It's just $10 and serves as a wonderful source of biblical wisdom in this area. Ruth and Boaz, Falling in Love, God's Way. You can order by telephone, you can write us, or visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. To get in touch with us here by telephone, our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or, for the cost of a stamp, write us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 917-09. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 917-09. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, We at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.